Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 23. It's on page 857. It goes on to 858 in your pew Bibles. Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and salutations in marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I think I've told some of you before that when I was a kid growing up, I was a big boxing fan. In fact, it's safe to say that I wasn't a big boxing fan, but I was a big Muhammad Ali fan. I had Muhammad Ali posters all over my bedroom, on three sides of my bedroom, all of Ali's fights I had pasted up on my bedroom wall. And one of the things that I used to like about Ali, one of the things that endeared him to me as a person and as a fighter, was his brashness and his boldness. He wasn't a person who could be accused of humility. In fact, one of the things that Ali used to call himself was, he said, that he was the greatest. We live in a society and indeed in a world where we define greatness in a certain way. In fact, we often live in a world where we measure the status and charisma of someone on how they stand out from the crowd, how they're able to elevate themselves over others. Our history books are filled with people who we consider to be great. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, William the Conqueror, Abraham Lincoln, and all others. These are people who exemplify leadership for us. But as God's people, as Christians, we are reminded that we have another way of defining greatness. There are many excellent virtues and qualities that commend themselves to us in the pages of Scripture, but none is perhaps more difficult for many of us modern Americans than is the virtue of humility. Indeed, I suspect that for many of us, the virtue of humility is not only difficult for us, but it's somewhat incomprehensible, given the fact that we live in a society where talk show hosts and psychologists tell us that the most important thing for us to have is a healthy self-esteem. Indeed, I remember seeing a statistic once that said that Americans were lagging behind on just about every quality except the notion of self-esteem. We were number one in feeling that we were a people who had self-esteem. We also live in a society where we are encouraged at every opportunity, at work, at school, and in our social relationships, to promote ourselves and elevate ourselves over other people. We need to demonstrate to others, and perhaps even to ourselves, that we are the best, that we are the brightest, that we are the smartest, the most virtuous, or we're the person with all the answers. We are encouraged to think that way about ourselves and encouraged to do that, to put our best selves forward, to constantly sell ourselves and to elevate ourselves over others. Little wonder then that for many of us, the worst thing that you could possibly exhibit is to exhibit humility. We live in a society that doesn't quite understand humility, and we don't necessarily respect people who we consider to be humble. Humility is not necessarily one of the quality traits that we look for in our leaders. When's the last time that we evaluated our political leaders or even our religious leaders on how humble they are? So humility is not something that we as Americans are inclined to think very highly of. But Jesus, in our text this morning, tells his disciples that those who will be the greatest among you will be the servant of all the rest. In other words, to be great in the eyes of God, to be great in the kingdom of God, is not to elevate yourself above other people, but to be great in the kingdom of God is to humble yourself. To be great in the kingdom of God is to exhibit humility, and to exhibit that by serving others. In our text this morning, Jesus has some really harsh things to say about the religious leaders of his day. He accuses them of arrogance and hypocrisy. Instead of concerning themselves with the welfare of the people, which is the mark of a good leader, the mark of a good shepherd, instead they use religion as an opportunity to elevate themselves over others. The Greek word translated for hypocrisy actually means to play at, to act. And Jesus is accusing the religious leaders of his day of doing just that. They are play acting. They don't practice what they preach. They say one thing for public consumption, and yet they actually live in another way. Their main concern is with positions and titles and reputations and appearances, anything that elevates them above others. I suspect that we know a little bit about that in our own day and age. We all know leaders, especially religious leaders, who place themselves on a pedestal. We all know religious leaders who love to talk about the influence that they have in our society, and who love to wear power suits, and who love to fly jet planes around the nation. We hear them preaching one thing, usually condemning and judging others, only to discover that they've been living a totally different way, that they've been living a lie. Jesus reminds his disciples to watch out for those kind of leaders. Indeed, he reminds them to watch out for those kinds of people. One of the things that distinguished Jesus from the religious leaders of his day was not the fact that Jesus performed miracles. He did do that. But even Jesus himself is often ambiguous about the importance of miracles. Nor was it the fact that Jesus preached something radically different from what the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day preached. In fact, Jesus recognizes the authority of the religious leaders. He tells his disciples to listen to what they have to say. Don't do what they do, but listen to what they have to say. What separated Jesus from the religious leaders of his day was his humility. Jesus was truly and genuinely humble. Jesus was not interested in positions and titles. He knew that there is only one Father, and that Father was in heaven, so he wasn't concerned about what people called him. He wasn't concerned about appearances and reputation. He engaged people that no one else wanted to be seen engaging. He went to places that no respectable person, let alone a respectable leader, would want to go. But Jesus went there because he wasn't concerned about those things. What Jesus was concerned with was about people. He was concerned about people, especially those who were considered the lowly. Jesus wasn't about elevating himself, but he was concerned about reaching out to others. And Jesus says that those who will be great among you will be just like I am. You will be the servant of all the rest. In the 11th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says that he came to bring an ease from the burdens that crippled people over. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And Jesus says that that's what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. Of course, we struggle with what it means to be a Christian. We struggle with what it means to be the people of God. We often find that it's easier to be religious than it is to have the heart of a servant. It's easy for us to be concerned about our reputations and about our standing and about how we are seen and about going through the motions than it is for us to have the heart of a servant. But Jesus says that if we really want to be somebody in the kingdom of God, then we will be the servants of all the rest. This morning I want to talk just a little bit about humility, because we often have the wrong idea about what humility is. First of all, humility is not about letting people walk all over you. It's not about denying your self-worth or failing to speak up for yourself. That's not being humble. That's being a doormat. Don't let anyone walk all over you. Don't let anyone use you as a doormat. Jesus was humble, but Jesus never allowed himself to be a doormat. The word humble comes from the Greek word humus, which means ground. But it doesn't mean that we are to allow people to treat us like dirt. The ground can be a place that becomes fertile and abundant with new life. And to be humble means that we open ourselves up and allow ourselves to become something that God turns us into. Being humble is not about allowing people to use us, or not about allowing ourselves to be walked over, but being humble means that we understand where our self-worth comes from. Indeed, to be humble means that we are secure in who we are as God's people. Humility is not something that we can give ourselves, but humility is a gift from God. Genuine humility is rooted and grounded in the knowledge that we belong to God and that we are loved by God. when we know that we belong to God, when we know that we are loved by God, we know that we have self-worth. We don't have to be proved to people our self-worth. When we know that we are loved by God and that we belong to God, we don't have to worry about trying to elevate ourselves over other people. We don't have to worry about our reputations and appearances. We don't have to worry about constantly self-promoting ourselves. When we know that we belong to God, we can be humble. We don't have to try to be what other people want us to be or what we think other people want us to be. We don't have to try to convince people that we're the smartest or the brightest or the most virtuous. We can rest assured in the fact that we belong to God and that we are loved by God. So to be humble is to be rooted and grounded in that knowledge, in that understanding that we belong to God. Humility is also rooted and grounded in the knowledge that we are all connected one to another. Someone once said that humility is living courageously in a world of radical connectedness. We are all connected to one another. The humble person doesn't try to negate his self-worth. The humble person isn't interested in denying his own interest, but the humble person knows that he is connected to each and every other person. And because he loves himself, because she loves herself, that means that he and she can go out into the world and work for other people, to serve other people, because all of our interests are tied together. When we love ourselves and have self-worth for ourselves, then we begin to understand and have self-worth for other people. When we love ourselves and have an understanding of our own self-worth, it doesn't lead us to elevate ourselves over others, but it sends us out into the world to work on behalf of others, to serve others, because we begin to understand that all of our interests are tied together and connected. One of the concerns that I have for our own country is that oftentimes we as Americans see ourselves as being an exceptional nation. We sometimes see ourselves as being disconnected from the rest of the world, disconnected from what is going on in other places in the world. And that leads us to a kind of pride and arrogance that often cuts us off and fails to have us to appreciate the connectedness that we share with the rest of the world. Jesus was the truly humble person. Jesus was the person who lived and died for others. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians that even though Jesus was equal with God, that even though Jesus was in the form of God, that he didn't exploit that fact. He didn't use that as something to be exploited, but he humbled himself. He took on the form of a slave, of a servant. He humbled himself for you and for me. Imagine that. Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus, the very Son of God, Jesus, the one whom all things are held together, Jesus, the name in which everything that is was created, Jesus humbled himself and became like a servant for you and for me. And Jesus says that you and I are to have that same kind of heart, that you and I are to have that same kind of mindset. We are called to be great in the kingdom of God. And that means we are called to serve other people. We are called to love other people. We are called to give of ourselves for the sake of the world. It's said that the great biblical scholar and missionary Albert Schweitzer was a very humble person. In 1953, he came to the United States to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And as he got off the train in Chicago, he was inundated by a number of journalists and photographers who was taking his picture and was there to meet him. In the midst of all of that, he looked over and he saw an elderly lady, a lady going into the train with her bags and her suitcases, and immediately he excused himself and went to assist that elderly lady as she tried to board the train. And those who were in the crowd made note that this was a man who not only proclaimed what the gospel was all about, but who lived the gospel. Albert Schweitzer, a man going for the Nobel Peace Prize, would take the time to help a little obscure lady to board a train. And yet we are all called to remember that we are called to be in the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called not to exalt ourselves, but to humble ourselves. What does that humility look like in the midst of our own lives? How do we demonstrate that greatness as we go out to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of our own context? So much of our religious life revolves around ourselves, revolves around what we can get, revolves around what God has done for me or what God can do for me. But we are reminded that the essence of our Christian faith is not about us. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what God can do for us individually. But the essence of the Christian faith is what we are called to do for the sake of others. It's how we are encouraged to go out into the world to be the great souls that God has called us to be. Yes, there are a lot of great people, I suppose, in our world who are great according to the categories of the world. Maybe Muhammad Ali was the greatest. Maybe William the Conqueror was great. Maybe all those people that populate the history books that we read about, maybe they are great. But the Bible tells us that the greatest person that ever lived, the greatest person that was ever among us, was not a powerful military general, was not a powerful politician, was not a popular, powerful athlete, was not a movie star, was not anybody important like that, but the greatest person that ever lived among us was a person who was nailed to a cross. The greatest person that was among us was a person that didn't come to elevate himself, but the greatest person that ever lived was a person who came to die for you and me. The greatest person among us was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us what it means to be great. Jesus came to define for us what greatness is all about. Jesus came to show us how to live. If you want to be somebody, if you really want to be somebody, it's not about elevating yourself over other people. If you really want to be somebody, it's not by trying to convince people how smart you are, or how good looking you are, or how confident you are, or how many answers you have. If you really want to be somebody, if you want to be somebody in the kingdom of God, if you really want to be great, the person to look to are not the false people in our society that make pretensions to being great. The person to look to is the one who came to give his life for all of us. because Jesus gave himself for all of us, because he humbled himself, God exalted him above every other name. And that's what it means to be exalted. That's what it really means to be a human being. To be a human being is not defining ourselves over and against other people. To be a human being, a real human being as God created us, is to serve other people in love. Those who will be the greatest among you are those who will serve all the rest. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the presence of your Spirit in our midst. And we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who showed us not only what it means to be a human being, but showed us what it means to be great, as greatness is defined in your kingdom. We ask that you help each and every one of us as we travel along the road that you have set for us to live that greatness out in all that we do, as we live our lives for you and as we live our lives for the neighbors that you have called us to serve. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.